pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
Here's what I know. This is going to be a short show.
Okay.
Because as soon as we're done recording,
yeah,
we're going to fool around.
Are you recording this?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
People should know.
Okay. That's what we're going
to
do.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some stuff that has to do with sex in today's kind of topic. Mm-hmm. But I just want people to know if the show is short, it's because I am impatient.
We do have plans.
I am ready to go. So thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
It's been fun.
It's been great. Gotta go. It's been a couple weeks. We didn't record last week.
We didn't. We did the left show instead.
We did the left show instead. So how's your last couple weeks been? You doing all right? I'm checking in.
It's been a rough week. It's been a really, really rough week.
Yeah.
Emotionally with relationships.
Yep.
Not ours, but.
No, we're okay.
Yeah, other relationships. It's tough.
It's very tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. The toughest part is not knowing what the fuck to do about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I've been having conversations and doing a lot of listening. And, you know, their experiences are different than mine. And I don't want to say that it's not true because it's their experience of what happened.
Yeah.
So that it's tricky.
Well, it's emotion. It's hard to nail down to fact or fiction in emotion because emotion isn't ruled, you know, by fact.
It's true. Lots of emotions this week.
It's all feeling. Yeah. So we've had a lot of feeling this week. Yeah. Week started out great. Week started out fucking amazing.
Yeah,
what a great week. And then like Tuesday, it's like, hey.
It all blew up.
Here's your balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was. But yeah, I don't know. A lot of changes in our life that I'm not ready to talk about yet.
Okay.
But they're all positive.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that part.
Yes, I am happy as well. How was that for vague booking? Was that good? Yeah, we're going to do a show about relationships and then we're going to sit here and have inside conversations. It's really great.
How has your week been?
You know, it's been rough. It's that last week of the month, you know, where I'm trying to figure out how the hell we're going to make ends meet to get rent paid on time. Mm-hmm. And I get a little grumpy and I get a little ornery, you know, and yeah. I start to worry and I try not to let that spill out and I try not to dump it in other people's laps. But the truth is I get 2 weeks off of this particular stress and I get 2 weeks on.
I don't even think you get 2 weeks off. It's not even a full 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, finances, and that's a topic we have scheduled for, you know, a later show, but I mean, that really is it's hard to be happy when you have that pressure in the back of your head that I can't miss a day of work.
Mm-hmm.
If I miss a day of work, one day,
yep,
there's not enough money to pay the rent.
You can't recover.
You can't recover. I mean, it's like we're less than a paycheck away from insolvency.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a hard place to be. So I've been looking for a second job quite studiously in the mornings before I go to work. You know, I'm just looking for something fun and remote. You know, maybe graphic design or UX, UI design, something like that. I mean, that's just, it's good stuff and you can do it whenever,
mm-hmm,
kind of thing. So that's what I'm looking for. And I'm not finding it. And that's frustrating me. And previous clients aren't hiring right now, and that's making me sad. And you know, so I'm in the chase, and the chase is lasting longer than I need it to, and I didn't think it would because I keep hearing that we have these wonderful jobs reports.
Right.
But they just don't apply here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been where my head's been all week. And it's not a great place to be. It's alienating. People wonder if I'm mad all the time, you know.
Do they?
Yeah.
I think you do a phenomenal job of not letting stress and anger and feelings bleed over into other relationships in your day to day. I'm so impressed with you in that. Yeah.
Well, I'm feeling it.
I know you are. And I can tell this week. This week's been a little bit different. I mean, we've had some pretty big stuff going on, but
yeah.
No, you do a good job.
A lot of big emotions this week. Yeah. So that sort of segues into what we're going to talk about today. For just a few minutes, I'm going to talk about longevity in relationships, what that means, and not that we are claiming longevity
no.
in any particular relationship.
Not at all.
And you know, I may even touch on my longest relationship and why that was bad. But that's a lot.
Okay.
So I might not. But, you know, I would say, give or take, we've been together 6.5, 7 years. Right? You know?
Yeah.
Some ups, some downs, some confusions. But I mean, we managed at some point to turn it around,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now I am as happy in this relationship with you as I have ever been, you know, in any previous relationship. And so what I want to do is try and suss out those things that make relationships last a long time mm-hmm. without them getting stale or boring. So we're gonna cover through a couple of different articles about that, and then to kind of discuss them as we go.
Okay.
Do you want to have a long-term relationship with me?
I would like to. Yeah,
I would like that as well.
That's one of my goals.
Good. Then I think that's a great place to start. So how do people stay together? There was a study done not too long ago, 68 long-term couples talking about what makes them love long-term. And it sort of culminates in what the author puts together as three main points.
Mm-hmm.
Shared values is the first point. Whether it's passionate belief in social justice, a desire to explore the world together, simply being determined to laugh in the face of adversity, common values and a shared worldview are a recurring theme in almost all the conversations with enduring couples. And often they figured out those values early on. You and I met basically doing social work.
Yes.
Not social work, but society work.
This is one that I've always heard, I've always heard my whole life that how important it is. And I didn't realize the importance of it until our relationship.
Yeah.
Because past ones, our views have been different and it's tough. Like, I don't know how you make that work.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I guess people do. There's Republicans married to Democrats and they make it work. I don't know how.
But I don't know that all of them are making it work. The only one I could think of is Mary, what's her name, and Carville.
Oh, that's right.
I can't remember her name, but it doesn't matter. She's a Republican. Yeah. So, you know, she's a gender traitor.
It's just, it's a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. I think at this point.
Mm-hmm. I have too many people that I love and care about. And if you are going to vote against them.
Yep.
No.
Yep. No, and that's it. So, I mean, you and I, we share a lot. Excuse me. I cannot stop yawning today. We share a lot of things together in tandem, hand in hand, as far as social woes go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neither of us are racist.
No.
Which is very nice.
It is good.
I'm pretty close to socialism.
Yeah, I'm so far left.
Yeah.
I'm very, very proud.
You're here and I'm here and it's very comfortable here and I like it here. And when people in either one of our families pop up with something right wing to say, it's nice to have not only a sympathetic ear, you know, but one that will join me in a chorus of huzzah, yeah. Down with them. You know, we're a united front.
Yeah.
So I think on that it goes, you know, it's we both have a do your best to do no harm. You know, you more than me, let's be honest. You know, you've got to let bygones be bygones nature sometimes that I do not understand at all.
Yeah, that's
because true. I am a revenge fetishist.
I am not.
Yeah. I do. I more than even for myself and my own perceived injustices against me. My revenge fantasies play out on behalf of other people.
Right. Okay.
You know, my revenge fantasies play out with me white knighting something, you know, and because that's what I did when I was peppy and young. I would take on the hopeless cause. You know, I would help the person who needed help.
Yeah.
As best I could.
I love that.
And it used to be that I would do that with fisticuffs. And then I found out I was having a kid. And that was the first thing that I promised myself I would stop doing is smacking people.
Landing in jail.
Yeah. Because that's bad.
Yeah.
So I stopped.
Well, that's good.
And so Kyla just turned 21. Did you know that?
21?
21.
I thought she turned 20.
No, I'm pretty sure it was 21 this year.
My kid's 20.
Yeah.
Your kid's older than mine?
Yeah.
I thought they were the same age. They were only 3 months apart. Oh, my kid's turning 21 in March.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. You had him young. I had him old. And we had him at about the same time.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's 21 years, 22 probably, that I haven't smacked somebody who really had it coming.
It's funny. You fought people, and I, with my friend, we started, had to have been in like fourth grade. We started the Community Service Agency.
I love this.
And we had little,
Tell me more. We
typed up little business cards.
Aww.
And we would like go around and we would ask people if they wanted us to clean their garage door, their like siding, which I'm sure we made an even bigger mess. We tried to take graffiti off of walls.
Wow.
That didn't really work very well.
But still,
I mean, we babysat for free.
What a social conscience you had as youth.
Yeah.
When I was in youth, all I was trying to do was figure out how to get a Victoria's Secret catalog delivered to the house I could get before my parents caught the mail.
Oh, good Lord.
You know, didn't work. However, they do sell underwear and lingerie and Sears catalogs.
Yes, they do.
So
you had to settle for Sears.
I did have to settle for Sears. And I'm okay with that. I have, when they tore the big Sears down on 8th South,
yeah,
I was sad because Sears was like my best friend in the fourth or fifth grade, if you know what I mean. I got caught with a three-ring binder. I had a three-ring binder and I had taken a few pages from the Sears catalog.
Oh, no.
And put them in my three-ring binder. And
underwear pictures?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. And that was my book. I had my book and I got caught with the book at school because it can't just be a parent finding it. No, it's got to be a teacher who then talks to a vice principal who then talks to a principal who then calls both of my parents and has them in for a meeting about why their kid's running around with underwear pictures pulled out of a Sears catalog.
Oh. That was a fun conversation to have with your parents, I'm sure.
That was a rough conversation.
Oh, no.
I was not a big fan of that one.
Oh.
Didn't stop me. When the worst thing I did, my parents were split. Dad and I were living down south in Utah County. And I got a subscription card from a Playboy I had found in the woods, filled it out in my dad's name because I was too young.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and had it mailed to the house. Now, I would go to school in the morning. Mm-hmm. Dad and I would leave around about the same time. I'd get home 3-4 hours ahead of him, and the mail was there. It was fucking perfect. And then I left a copy on accident at my mom's house with Dad's name on it.
Oh.
And it was one of the most insane heavy lifting operations I have ever had to do to just get my mom to listen that it was mine. I had done it. Here's how I did it. You know, this does not belong to my father. Geez, he'd be mortified at the thought, you know, of it. And I finally convinced her. That was rough. Yeah, I felt awful. Yeah.
Oh, man. Did she tell your father?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
No, they weren't speaking at the time. And then when they finally did talk to each other like 20 years later, pretty sure they'd forgotten. You know, because honestly, in the grand scheme of things, it's no big deal. But at the time, it was like the most important sin I had ever committed. And it was a crime against my father. And that just felt awful.
Aww.
So shared values. I dig it.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and I'd say between the two of us, we can both appreciate a somewhat naked woman.
I think so. Yeah. I can.
So our values are shared.
They're shared.
They are shared. The art of compromise. We don't have to compromise on a lot, you and I.
Okay.
I would say our biggest struggle with compromise is dinner every day.
I would say our biggest compromise is the TV.
No, it's not. And you know why?
Yes.
Because you gave it to me.
Yeah, I know.
You just stopped.
I know.
And that's not fair. That's not compromise. That's you giving up something. Now, have I rejected my victory? No, I have not. Because I am not a good person. You know? That's what it is. It's like, fuck it. We're watching sci-fi. It's, you know, not only that, sci-fi cartoons.
I know.
You know? And so I have run off your Cardassians and your swamp people and the little people that farm.
Okay, very.
And
I watched,
the duck folks.
No, my God.
I caught you watching Duck Folks.
I can't believe you'd bring that up when we're recording.
It's all about honesty.
So
we want these people to know that we are we're dealing in truth.
Yes, I have watched trashy garbage television. I don't watch it all the time, but I do watch it. I love Sister Wives and I love the Kardashians. And I love that it's not heavy. It's not anything that is going to make me feel shitty. Because I do watch a lot of like other stuff that's heavy.
You do. You watch a lot of heavy stuff. You are into, and I make the joke, and I shouldn't because it's inappropriate, but it's the Women in Peril documentaries.
Yeah.
And the closer to the Middle East, the better.
Yes.
You know?
It's true. Yes.
Yeah, it is true. And those things make me sad. They make me so terribly sad. And so I don't watch stuff like that unless I have to. I remember years ago, Jake was doing something, and I can't remember what, but we went and saw a film together. And it was a documentary about Darfur and what was going on in Darfur at the time. And the biggest frustration that both of us had coming out the other end was we had just been presented with 2 hours of horror, you know, horrific facts, terrible stories. Just still fucks me up to think about it, what was going on in Darfur at the time. And kind of still is now, really. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, credits rolled. And Jake's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh.
No, here's what we do. Here's what comes next.
Here's how
your
you
call
help.
To action. Anything. It was just like, here's suck.
And there's nothing you
See
can
later.
Do.
Yeah. It was like, we both walked out of there fucking gutted.
I am surprised how many times they do that. They don't put a call to action at the end of something like that.
And
so
this was
often.
Nuts. This was a George Clooney joint.
Hmm.
you know, as I recall. And the call for action, whatever there was weak and felt wildly, you know, insufficient. So I just remember us both going to that and walking away frustrated. And I've never watched that documentary again. You know, I've thrown it out there with Schindler's List. I watched it once. I'm done. That movie broke my fucking heart. And I never, ever want to feel like that on purpose. So I avoid, which is weird because I constantly watch the news. I cannot stop watching the news. Apparently, while it's happening, I'm fine with it.
It's fine.
It's when we view it in the 2-hour context of a documentary, I just can't fucking handle it, you know, or if it's a dramatic recreation of a real thing, I'm just done. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
And so I don't, you know, and then I turn around and I tease you about it because that's compromise. No, but we do. I'd say our biggest problem with compromise on a constant is food.
Really?
Yeah, because what do you want for dinner? I don't know.
I know.
What do you want? Well, I don't know. That's why I asked you. Because you will say no to things that I won't.
I can't pick something, but I can tell you what I don't want. I just can't tell you what I want.
Yeah. Is that compromise?
It's usually money too. It's like money plays into it. Like,
oh, a huge amount.
What do you want? I don't know. Like, what can we afford? What do we have? Like, if money's no object, I can give you a list of what I want. A chicken sandwich right now.
Oh, no shit. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
I would go for some chicken. There's a place up north of here, up near the Utah State Democratic headquarters, actually, called Crispy Crunchy Chicken.
So good.
And it is so damn good.
It is.
And you get the chicken sandwich.
I do.
And I get the 4-piece when we can, you know? I love fried chicken.
I do too. My mom just gave us a coupon for a free chicken sandwich at Zaxby's.
And it was late last night, and we were out in the kitchen, and you saw the coupon, and you're like, chicken sandwich.
I know. I put it in my purse because I'm like, maybe I will swing by today. Not today, but maybe tomorrow.
Someday.
Yeah, going to. I'm excited.
What was the coupon?
It was for a free chicken sandwich from Zaxby's.
No strings attached?
No strings attached. I know. It's not. I thought it was like a buy one, get one, but it's not.
I have bad news for you.
What?
I drove by a Zaxby's twice today.
Oh, you did?
Twice.
Well, I'm sorry.
Once
you didn't
on
have
my
it.
Way to the storage unit, and once on my way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have given it to you.
Well, I mean, I just would have brought it to you, because that's just who I am.
I know you're
and
so
who
good
we are to
me.
Each other. And you love chicken sandwiches more than I do.
It's a new thing.
It is a new.
It's a new kick for me.
So, okay, art of compromise. We have compromised on some things over the years. You know, what side of the bed are we on? Mm-hmm. You know. Who's better on top? You.
Not me.
Yep. And we'll figure that out in a minute.
Okay.
I think it's important. I think we do a pretty good job, you know, of looking out for one another.
I think so.
And part of that is finding that compromise. I know that if you make me breakfast in the morning, it's a glitch. It's a buck of programming because you hate breakfasts.
I do.
You went out into the fucking kitchen the other night and made pancakes and scrambled eggs with ham and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You just did that. And then you didn't eat any of it because you hate breakfast.
I know. I had to make dinner.
Yeah. And you did breakfast for dinner. And then you walked away like some kind of just cold animal.
I'm a hero.
You are a hero. I'm still frustrated with you. I don't like it when you do that. If you're not going to eat, I'm not going to eat. I mean, that's just...
You ate the shit out of that food.
I ate 4 fucking pancakes and a bunch of eggs. I did.
You needed to eat. You have to eat.
You tricked me. Well, I have V8.
Okay.
You know, which apparently has everything I need as food, you know, to at least get me through a day or two.
That VA does not have everything you need for a day or two.
It's
you crazy.
Each can
man.
Is 2 servings of fruit and vegetables.
It's not going to cut it.
I don't know. It's doing all right.
You're crazy.
I'm trying to do those for lunch instead of, well, one being sad, or two eating shit that's bad for me.
Yeah. Lunch is so hard, I think, especially when you're working. Lunch is tricky.
If you're working a 9-to-5, I think that you can figure out your lunch pretty well, you know, if you just put a little power into it. I work fucking, you know, noon to 8. So,
yeah,
you know, lunch is like, oh, you just got to work. You can't eat yet. And then later it's like, well, fuck, it's 4 o'clock. I'm going to be out of here in another 3.5 hours. So I don't really eat now.
That is tricky.
Yeah. Swings are rough like that.
I just have a hard time preparing, planning. That's my thing. Planning and preparing ahead of time.
So the number one thing that almost every couple spoke about in the study was commitment, a shared agreement to hang in there no matter what. Many of the couples had gone through some of life's biggest challenges together, but everyone involved knew that the other would stand by their side. It's not a particularly groundbreaking conclusion, you know?
No, and I think commitment is important.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the end all. I don't think you're, I don't know.
There is a certain stubbornness to my commitment to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, is there were a lot of people counseling against us being a couple, you know, and a lot of it was jealous dudes that were mad at me, you know, but there were some people that genuinely thought that something about us didn't work, you know. And I disagree with all of them. All of them. Because I think you and I work quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. So that is it. It's putting in the work. And the truth is that other than some uncomfortable conversations we have from time to time, I don't find our relationship work at all.
No.
I don't. It doesn't. There's no heavy lifting. I am ecstatic to be with you. I am happy to have you around, even on our worst days together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am just blessed.
Aww.
Sorry. To have you as my backup.
Thanks, babe.
As my go-to.
Yeah. You're my home.
As the Robin to my Batman.
Okay.
Can we? Because it's really the other way around. I mean, let's be honest. But you're Batman. And I'm Batman.
You're Batman.
Because I can do the talk.
Yes, you can.
Yes. Batman. I am the knight. Okay. So that's really it. Shared values. Compromise. Bit of work.
Lots of work.
Notice what I didn't throw in there, guys. That whole bullshit. Just learn to apologize whether you know why you're in trouble or not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that mind reading is a real thing, but you should know why you're in trouble. And if you don't know why you're in trouble, nut up and ask.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really it. And if she doesn't tell you, you know, then it's not on you anymore. And if she does tell you, it is on you to see what you can do to fix the fucking problem.
Yeah.
Because there's a pretty good chance, gentlemen, the problem is you.
Probably.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
A man and a woman? Yes. Man's fault.
Yep.
Probably.
What do the ladies do?
Probably. I don't know.
Who's at fault there?
I don't know.
Who's
I don't know
at
how
fault?
That works.
Who's at fault in, with gentlemen? I don't know.
I'm unsure.
Wow. Well, it's okay. So you've come here for your heteronormative relationship advice. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We get back on the other side. We're going to solve some problems for people who didn't ask us.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's something funny.
Yeah?
I picked three articles for us to read on longevity.
You did?
We talked about one of them for a half an hour. So I think we've proven that longevity is not going to be a problem.
Oh, good.
Because we can do it. But I do want to bring up these other ones because they are a little bit important. In long-term relationships, it's so common for people to sort of equate any unhappiness they have to something that their partner has done or not done.
Oh, I hear it all the time.
Yeah. I'd only be happy if dipshit could pick up his socks.
If he would do this and this, if they would do this and that.
Yeah. So what we do, which we stole from somewhere, and we should probably figure it out and quote it at some point.
But Brené
Brown? There you go. We do the percentages.
Yeah, Brené Brown.
Out of 100%, where are or out of your half of whatever our responsibilities are.
Well, so they're saying like you always hear that relationships are 50-50 and it's not true. No. Relationships aren't 50-50. Like some, and so, we check in with each other and we'll say, where are you at? Like on your 100%, what percentage are you at? And you would say, where are you today?
Today?
Yeah.
Today I'm at a 20.
Okay.
And when we're done recording, I'm going to be at a 40.
Okay. And I'm feeling good. So I can take that other 60%.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then we make 100%. We know where we're at, what each other is capable of emotionally and physically that day. And we're good.
That is good.
It's helped us a lot.
It has. So basically what you need to do is avoid false logic. And your feelings of unfulfillment or dissatisfaction may or may not actually root from, you know, a thing, a tangible behavior, you know, or you may just be thinking that it does because you haven't really sat down to examine it or to talk about it, you know, like that, or the false logic that, and this one has been a problem in my life. Because you didn't A, you hate me. Because you didn't B, you don't love me. Because you didn't C, you're out to get me. Mm. You know, that's some severe false logic.
It's very extreme.
Yeah. And I went through that for a good 20 some odd years, give or take.
Wow.
Yeah. So, false logic. False logic is very important to skip. Everybody should skip it. You know, if you are feeling like that, ask. You know, the worst that can happen is the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth will set you free. You know, you can't confront your problems until you admit that you have them. And one of the quickest ways to find out whether or not you have a problem is to talk to somebody that loves you and say, what the fuck is my problem?
Yeah.
And they can go, bleh, you know, or not.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have a problem. I have problems. I have so many problems.
Well, and I think being a good partner is being willing to have those hard conversations and be honest and share.
Yeah.
Like if you come to me and you're asking me, it's hard. Like, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to upset you. But you trust me enough that when you ask me, I am going to tell you the truth.
And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard truths.
It is.
You do. You share hard truths with me. Mostly about my age.
Yeah, well.
Well, what are you going to do?
It is what it is, babe.
It's true. I am old. I'm not getting any younger. So false logic is bad. Other long-term relationship things are to avoid staleness. And sometimes you just need to involve something new, something different. Is it going down to the Blue Boutique and buying a new toy? You know, is it ordering one online so that people don't look you in the eye when you're buying the toy?
Remember to take your ID too if you
remember
ever
to
go.
Take your ID to the Blue Boutique.
Just gonna throw that important. Out there.
Apropos of nothing whatsoever.
You might have to just like sit outside and wait. That's no fun.
No, because you can't perform the art of compromise when one of you's not in the room.
That's true.
And so then it just comes down to what are my, frankly, perversions. I think we're taking this one a little too far.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's walk back from that.
Okay.
But yes, it's Blue Boutique. My mind goes absolutely apeshit, and I wish that I had unlimited funds. That is all there is to it. Especially in the lingerie department.
Oh.
Mm. But yeah, is trying to keep things from being stale. What do we do?
You know, I don't know that we have this big secret, but we just have fun together.
It's true.
We laugh all the time. You make me laugh, and I love that. It's a big deal to me.
It is a huge deal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. My deal is bigger than your deal. I mean, that is how big a deal it is. Just okay. So you know. See that? That was the art of compromise. She just threw in the towel because it was a dumb fucking argument.
And said, okay.
All right. That's fine. Be wrong. Yeah. It's important to... I have been making an effort, and it's not a difficult effort, the last few months, when I get home from work, to ask you about your day. And when you give me monosyllabic answers, I push a little bit. I'm like, no, tell me about your day.
Yeah, you do.
It was fine. Okay. Well, it was fine about it. Like that.
Yeah.
Because I not only want you to know that I give a shit, I also want you to be able to open up and relieve some of the pressure of those things that may get in the way of you wanting to jump on top of me.
Oh, that's why.
No. Yes. Kind of. No, but I really do. It's you work out a lot of your stuff just through simple conversation.
Yeah, I do.
And so if I can engage you in that conversation, I don't have to come up with solutions to your problems, because most of the time I can't, unless it involves graphic design in some way. But, you know, I can be that ear and be that support system that you need to know that no matter what happens in your day, you can turn to me and go, I had a shit day. Bleh.
Yeah.
And just dump it in my lap and know that not only is it welcome, but I'm inviting it, you know, and that's very important. You should try that.
Asking you? Really? You are so funny.
No, you do. You do it better than I do.
That's so not true. No, one thing I was going to add about like sharing, and one thing I know for us that I've learned in our relationship is that our emotions are not like based on each other's.
No.
So the other day, for example, you were having a really terrible day. You were grouchy, and it was just a bad day. And I was having a great day.
Yeah.
And I was very happy. So I was sitting in bed doing TikTok and laughing and realizing that I'm like laughing out loud and probably being, I was thinking maybe obnoxious. And I remember asking you and saying to you, like, I'm so sorry. I know that you are having a bad day and I'm sitting here laughing. And you said,
I don't know what I said, but it would probably be something along the lines of, the sound of you laughing makes me fucking feel better.
No, you didn't say that. But
oh, well, then that's what I should have said.
No, you just said that, you know, our emotions aren't based on each other, and you wouldn't want me to be in a bad mood because you are, and vice versa.
No, I've watched that in some couples.
Oh, I've lived it. Lived it. It's awful.
It really is. And it's when somebody finds the lowest common denominator and you join them there, nah, it's not good for anybody. All you're doing is both of you are pissing in the well water.
Yeah. Or expect your partner to match your mood.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous.
No, we had completely different days. I remember the day.
Yeah.
I don't remember being that profound, but that was really good of me. I like that.
It was for me, because my past relationships have been like that. Not because of the people I was with, but because of me, like I chose to do that, not realizing how damaging and destructive it is.
Yeah. It robs you of your sense of self. You know, it robs you of your purpose and your mission.
Yeah.
And that's never good.
It really does.
Yeah. Because you're amazing and you're going to change the fucking world. And I want to be here to support that.
Thanks, honey.
You know, and if I'm sucking all the energy out of the room because it's time to pay rent again, fuck it. You know, that is my burden that I place upon myself. It's either going to work out or it's not.
Yeah.
There's usually fuck all I can do about it. But oh my God, do I micromanage all of my negative feelings about it? You know, I fucking schedule bad moods. It's awful. It really is. But I mean, that's just when it comes, you know, is that a long-term relationship, you have to maintain a sense of fun.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, and that fun is going to change for everybody. Some people like to hike. Some people like to run 5Ks.
They like to run, yeah. Taylor.
Taylor. You know, they run races. They find two in a kayak. So, you know,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If you and I had a kayak, I'd go kayaking with you. The only reason that I'd do it is because of the you part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you said, Jeff, I want to start kayaking, I'd be like, well, I'll get a life vest. You know, yes, I can swim, but it's been a while. but I mean, that's just really what it is. It's don't let yourself bog down in day to day routines. Fuck it up. Mix it up. You know, just surprise cunnilingus. Whatever you got to do, surprise is the best part. What? Oh, I suppose that's fine. Art of compromise. Huh?
Consensual surprise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I would definitely check in first. Let's make no mistake. Because that's just, yeah, in case you didn't get it, that's just not something you can do walking down the street.
No.
Okay? Don't. Don't. Let's take some letters. This one is rough. I've been dating my boyfriend for 3 years. Like any relationship, we have arguments, but there's been a recurring theme that I feel hopeless about. We've only had sex about 3 times in 3 years. He excuses it to being that he lives with roommates and I live with my parents. But I feel like I'm open to trying other places like hotels, etc. Because everybody knows that hotel sex is the best.
The best sex.
It is the best sex. I don't know if it's because you don't own the mattress or what, but there is just something. Let's move on. We're solving problems. But I feel like I'm open to trying new things like hotels, but he isn't. He says his libido isn't as high as when he was younger, and it's affecting me. Years ago, he would be more publicly affectionate. Now he's not. He states that all relationships fizzle out, which I understand, you know, but how do we actually get intimate? It makes it unbelievable. He's 30.
Yeah.
I'm 23.
Yeah, the age is important here.
Yep. At 30, I would not be having the problems that he had.
No.
Let's be honest. I've constantly told him my needs and he doesn't do anything about it. He denies being gay, denies losing attraction to me, but admits that my asking for it is a turnoff. Whoa! I don't know what to do. It's affecting my self-esteem and building resentment. I feel like it's due to the lack of intimacy, that I'm not good enough. I lost my virginity to him and I feel lost in what to do. Can someone give me advice? Hey, buddy.
Wow.
We're here to help.
Okay.
Leather AD39973-3.
We got you.
We got you. Dump him. It's time to move on.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyone who makes you feel hopeless, it's not for your life.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Everybody has drives. Yours is you would like a little intimacy. And that is absolutely valid. It is far more valid than you're giving it credit for. And another thing, you're 23,
mm-hmm.
You know, you got a lot of life ahead of you, kid. Don't spend it with this dumbass. He doesn't know what he's got. You sound perfectly fucking reasonable to me. So, you know, I don't see any poison leaking out the sides, anything like that. And while we write narratives about ourselves, do our best to paint ourselves. Boy, I said ourselves so many times there. The word has lost all meaning. You know, that, it's hard to reconnect. So jump.
Yeah, I think so. If you've had conversations about your needs, that your needs aren't being met and your partner's not willing to fulfill them, then it's time to move on.
Letter number two. Hit the lights 82 asks, this may be a stupid question. I've never been in this situation. I'm not insecure. This is just new. Is it normal for a current relationship over a year to still be in contact with the family of their ex?
It is for me.
Yeah, no shit. You leave an indelible mark and people fucking adore you.
I have two exes and I'm close to both of their families.
There was a... no names, obviously. There was a young woman years and years and years ago that I was seeing, and she broke up with me. And 3 months later, I had to break up with her parents.
Yep. Yeah.
Because her mom was fucking calling me once a week. You okay? You okay, sport? You doing all right?
And checking on you.
Checking in on me. She dropped groceries off in my apartment one time. Her dad brewed beer, and it was amazing fucking beer. It was like a dark stout with no aftertaste. It was a fucking religious experience in beer. And right before we all broke up, before I stopped seeing her parents, he brought me over 4 quarts of it, you know, and it was just like this meaningful gesture of... We obviously also fell in love with each other. Mm-hmm. And while her feelings have soured and she's gone back to her abusive ex-boyfriend, you know, we'll always have what we had together.
It's so sad.
Yeah, I know. Mom was a librarian, you know, dad brewed his own beer. I wanted to be in that family.
My mom says this, that it's hard, like when your kids bring people into your lives and you get to know them and you love them and their family, and then it doesn't work out. That relationship doesn't end, it just changes. I think that's all. No need for it to end.
People can have people without those people being dependent on the mutual knowing of people. Just because, you know, we're a couple and so we're friends with A, B, and C, we split up, it's never going to happen. Don't panic. It's making me panic. It's okay. Giving me palpitations. You know, at no point am I like, pick. You know, which I cannot say for my previous relationship is the case.
Yeah.
You know, mine is just, you be friends with who you want to be friends with. I don't give a fuck. You know, be yourself. If you're uncomfortable being nice to me because you're friends with her, go be friends with her. I'm not, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, I give a shit, but I don't give a shit.
Does it bother you that I'm close with my ex's family?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. It probably should, but it doesn't.
Okay.
You know, I've met them. They're lovely people.
Yeah.
You know, so even your ex, your first ex.
Yeah.
You maintain at least fond connections there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. I don't have a problem with that. You know?
That's good. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah. I do. I mean, there are people from my life that decided they had to pick one or another, you know, and I do miss them, but not very much. I put it aside and move on with my life.
Yeah.
You know what's important to me? You, my kids, you know, and my integrity. Those are the three things that I have. You know, you, my kids, and my integrity. And I do my best with all of them. But I got to punch somebody sooner. I'm really going to lose my fucking mind. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. You think it's fine, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
And what's normal anyway? You know, is it normal? It's...
Yep. Now, I picked this one, and I think it's too long. But basically, the too long didn't read is, I love my older boyfriend. We're happy together. I don't know why people are so judgmental. What are some healthy ways to deal with being judged and unaccepted? How is my relationship unhealthy? I want to know. Basically, it's a young woman dating an older gentleman.
Are there ages on there?
Actually, there are, and I find them disturbing, even considering the timeline of our relationship, which sometimes when I think about it too hard, it kind of weirds me out a little bit.
What are their ages?
She's 20, he's 55.
Oh my God. Yeah. I would have a problem if my daughter was dating a 55-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would have a problem if my 55-year-old was dating a 20-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's too far.
Yeah, I agree. Too far. And for so many reasons, too. I think so many reasons that you don't even understand yet.
Not at 20.
No.
Fuck, no. At 20, Jesus Christ, I was in love with anything.
But he should at that age. He should know better.
Yeah.
Unless he's, like, grooming her, you know?
How long have you known this dude? That's another good question. Have you known him for more than a year or so?
Yeah.
2 years tops?
Yeah.
Okay. If like you knew him before you were 18 and you had feelings for him before you were 18, there's a pretty good chance you're in a dangerous relationship. Yes. And that's why everybody's freaking the fuck out. On the other hand, I'm old. You're not old yet.
Almost.
You're getting there.
Yep.
But I do feel guilty about our age gap sometimes.
What? It's not that big of an age gap.
It's 11 years.
That's not that bad.
Do you know how that's like six cartoon series.
Okay. I notice it when we talk music. I notice it with our music, and I notice it with our like old TV shows and movies.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I notice it with.
I mean, pop culture is such a big part of who I am. You know, you got to admit, I mean, it does throw me off every once in a while that I saw He-Man in original run, and if you saw it, you saw it in syndication 11 or more years later. You know what I mean? Is that anything that filters through you? When I was in college, you were in grade school.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
It's wild.
It is wild. I mean, now you're a very, very, you know, cultured, smart, intelligent woman who for some reason is just settling for me, and I love every minute of it.
Not settling.
I think you are. But yeah, I'm against your relationship because you're so close to not being a major. You're so close to being a minor right now.
Yeah.
And this dude's 55. How fucking long have you known him? That's where that starts to get creepy to me. You know, because if he was around when you were a teen, he's a bad man and you should make a run for it.
And it doesn't sound like, I wonder too if she's really thinking like he's going to get old really quick.
He is.
I mean, those things, your body changes really quick at that age, you
yep.
know?
Yep.
So I'm sure she's yep. not thinking of all the things.
Nope. Keep talking. Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
Yep. No, I hear every word like a dagger through my heart. I understand what you're saying. I don't much
is
care for it.
Is she ready for that? Is she ready for it? I don't think so at 20.
No.
And she shouldn't be.
No. You know? As she says, older men have always told me that I'm still young, fresh, and fertile.
Ugh.
As for my boyfriend, he cherishes me and he loves me. I love how connected we are. I'm 20 and I'm an adult. Great. Make your decisions. Good on you. Did you know him when you were 15? Because then you really need to reprioritize. Okay. I thought this would be funnier. And it's not. I've made it not funny.
Sorry.
No, it's good. You were really digging into me there. That was pretty, that was good. Yeah, I liked that. So join us over at Patreon, patreon.com/dfenmedia. Where every week that we record, we put up special content for you, our Patreon patrons, to enjoy at a very small cost to yourself.
Love Patreon. It's fun.
It's fucking great. And we'll be doing Patreon as the show progresses. The letters portion will mm-hmm. become our Patreon.
Okay.
And our interview portion will take over that space. But as we are a brand new show, I'm having a hard time booking guests.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll get point. There.
When you consider the intimacy of what we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Sure.
But they'll get there. They just need to listen. We're fun. We're great.
We are.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for recording with me.
Thanks, it was fun.
Okay. Is it time to go fool around now?
I think so.
Ah, it's awesome.